development in the fostering of interest in the chemical community, as evidenced by the American Chemical Society. In the problems of chemical information processing. And this is 52. There's Pete Loon with his searching the Loon scanner.
That's the article that talks about the visit in 48.
Okay.
I believe that it does. There are two of those. And someplace along there, Perry was...
here it is, yeah. Two, the background was laid in the wrecking. Two such scientists, Perry and Dyson, approached Thomas J. Watson about 4 years ago, and this was published in 52, so it would sound like it was 48.
Yeah, that's what I have, 48 with a question.
Yeah, and Watson accepted the challenge and assigned the project to Loon. And it was soon after... certainly that I went to work for Perry that happened, so it was 50 to 51. One reason that I'm not so sure is that in 1952, Chemical and Engineering News published an article entitled Notational Systems for Structural Formulas by Berry and Perry. And this was 1952, and I believe that it was the outcome of a paper that I presented at the ACS meeting in 1951, in which I described the work that we were doing in comparing all of the notational systems that had been submitted to the IUPAC.
Right. And that was your first article, was it not?
I believe so. My first publication, yeah.
Well, now, when you were working, starting in 50 with Perry, did he still have the money from the American Chemical Society? Was that the source of his funding?
Yes, I think so. Because
I believe he got a couple of different grants.
Yes,
from the ACS.
Yes, from the ACS punch cards. You know, they had a committee on punch card techniques, both the chemical literature group of the Division of Chemical Education, which then developed into the Division of Chemical Literature, and the punch card techniques and the IUPAC study of notational systems, mm-hmm. I think were mm-hmm. all part of the... of the support that he had.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
he had 6,000, I believe, in 46, and then another 18,000 I had. And I'm not sure of other funding.
Uh-huh.
But coming back up just a minute, who was Casey? And because he seems to, the book and these articles and this early involvement.
Robert Casey was a chemist at W. A. Schaefer Pen Company in Fort Madison, Iowa, and he and Perry just were good friends and interested in this subject of punch cards. And
how did the two of them, one from MIT and one from Schaefer Penn, get connected up again?
I think in the American Chemical Society and the chemical... in the American Chemical Society has served on the punch card committee since 1947, Casey, and as secretary of the Division of Chemical Literature since 49. Mm-hmm. And Perry was a spearhead in developing that division.
Now again, the 45 article is by Casey, and not, and Perry's name is not on there.
No, I Casey and Cox was another one.
Right.
I never knew Cox and Bailey.
Right.
I think we're all Casey, Bailey, and Cox, number 82, page 82.
That's right. They did the article in 45 in CNE News.
Yes, and they, described by Casey, Bailey, and Cox, a Journal of Chemical Education in 46.
Mm-hmm.
I have a reference, yeah.
So you're not quite sure how Casey, they may have worked on this within the chemical literature group together.
Yes, and we used to meet Bob Casey every year at ACS meetings.
Yeah.
He cut quite a figure. He always wore a white linen suit to the fall meetings, which were usually in August or September.
Yeah.
Everybody knew Bob Casey. He was a dear. Yeah.
He was a chemist.
He was a chemist with Schaefer Penn.
Uh-huh. Had he had some kind of library training or documentation?
I don't think so. I think that this is what happened in those years, that chemists who had information problems and tried to tackle them would find they were a relatively small group, and
mm-hmm.
they would get together at, for example, national meetings of the American Chemical Society, which were held twice yearly, still are, spring and fall.
Mm-hmm.
And a B.S. degree from Trinity College in Connecticut and an M.S. and he attended Columbia University, but Bob never had a research chemist. He developed Scrip writing fluid.
Oh, right.
I remember years ago,
yeah.
Schaefer,
yeah.
He has been successively manager of the Scrip factory, manager of the research laboratory, director of research.
Now, this is from the first edition,
yes,
right?
Of the punch card.
Unfortunately,
book.
I have not been able to get my hands yet on a copy.
Okay, well, I'll lend this to you, and you can send it back.
Well, I just wanted to try to get some of the background. Let's go back to 5051.
Yeah.
You did that first article, and what other kinds
of
problems?
Let me tell you first, when I went to work for Perry in February of 19... You go out in the other room. In 1950, he showed me the manuscript for the first edition of the punch card book. It said, "This is a good introduction to the field that we're working in. Read it, and while you're at it, edit it." And he then went off to ACS meetings and left me the first, certainly 4 weeks, I think, that I went to work for him. I was alone reading this punch card
mm-hmm.
book, and it is an excellent introduction
mm-hmm.
to the field and the problems that people were trying to solve. And he acknowledges that in the preface. Miss Madeline M. Berry contributed skillful assistance in checking the manuscript and reading proof, and his secretary was Alice Perry. So for a while we had an office of Perry, Perry, and Berry, which was fun. And then the chemical notation competition perhaps heated up or expanded, and he gave me the job of shepherding that study. And I collected, we came up with, I don't know whether it was as many as 100 compounds that we asked each inventor of a notation system to convert to their notation.
Mm-hmm.
They sent them into us, and we compiled a book about this thick, several inches thick, a mimeographed sheets of all of these, of the compound name, structural formula, and the nine, or I forget how many we finally ended up with, serious notation schemes.
Mm-hmm. Now, IUPAC had already come out in favor of Dyson's formulas, I recall.
IUPAC was certainly more favorably inclined to Dyson because it was more chemical than anything else, and it was more highly developed than any of the other systems, which are also familiar to chemists, chemically familiar. In the U.S., and especially among the people who were using punch cards, Wiswesser was the favored notation because it could be used with punch cards. It wasn't very... chlorine was the Roman, the capital letter G. Dyson wanted to call chlorine capital C, lowercase l, like we always did. And that's why he and Perry went to IBM, because IBM at that time, IBM punch card equipment could not handle upper and lowercase and could not handle subscripts and superscripts. And Wiswesser had, in effect, converted the thinking to the punch cards, and Dyson wanted to convert the punch cards to his notation. IUPAC was headquartered in Europe. Dyson had certainly better access to the people that worked there. He appealed to the chemists who were part of the IUPAC commission. I have a picture of the group of them, and I have the original of this somewhere.
Oh, you do. Okay.
We had a meeting in at MIT, and it included. It included the yes, I have the picture here. Complete with the.
Oh, neat! The signatures and everything on it. Huh?
And it included the editor of Beilstein, the organic chemical compilation, and the editor, Eric Peach, the editor of Gmelin, which was inorganic chemistry.
Right, right.
Carl Heumann, by this time, I believe, was the director of the Chemical Biological Coordination Center. And Harriet Gear, in the front row, was his chief chemist. Right in the second row, the young-looking man with the glasses is Bill Wiswesser. Next to him is this is Bill Wiswesser, that's Perry, and Perry's secretary, and Harriet Gear. This is Dr. Richter, the Beilstein, and this is Dr. Peach of Gmelin. Austin Patterson.
You're not in this picture.
I'm right here.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should've I was young and skinny then, with my long hair pulled back.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Great. Yeah.
And the rest are industrial chemists from the. This is Dr. Verkada from IUPAC.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the date of this meeting with the photograph?
19. Howard Nutting, who is another name that you've heard from Dow. Let me see now. It was 1951. Let me see if I can find that for you. If you don't mind my going... quiet for a minute.
No, nope, that's fine. I was just looking to see if I had it on my stuff, too.
See, Perry, I went to work for Perry in February of 1950, and in September of 1950, we did this paper at the Division of Chemical Literature, and it was very, it was a measure perhaps of Perry's attitude that he would allow me to give this paper before a national meeting of the American Chemical Society so quickly after.
Now, this had all been preceded by your evaluating the various systems in terms of...
We were in the process at that time, yes, and there were obviously strong contenders and weak ones. The Chemical Biological Coordination Center sent in, you know, did the 100 compounds, but they had a strictly numeric system. Each molecule or molecular fragment had a numeric designation. And when they did their coordination studies, they would run their punch cards for the numeric sequence, and then they would run their biology cards for codes for the biology and compare them to see which ones had been tested, which compounds have been tested for biological activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what machine were you running this on?
We were not. That compilation was strictly, you know, typing. People would send in these codes to us, handwritten or typed out, and we compiled them that way. But the CBCC, I think, was strictly punch card accounting, tabulating equipment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that kind of work. This I sent in to a couple of years ago. And you may want to look at this. The Division of Chemical Information celebrated.
Right, I have a copy.
Yeah, 50 years.
Dr. Medinomsky sent me.
Okay, and that I sent him that copy of So this tells you how Casey and Bailey and Cox and Perry and all got. See, the 1943 was the chemical literature group in the Division of Chemical Education.
Right.
And 48 was the 48 and 49. And Perry, by 1950, the Division of Chemical Literature had sessions at each of the national meetings.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the paper that you all did was then to evaluate the various systems and try to come up with some estimate of the best one.
But our job at Perry and Barry at MIT was to collect and compile this book of all of the notation systems that had been submitted to the IUPAC so that the IUPAC commission could make a decision. And they did select Dyson as the standard for a national, international notation system. But in the meantime, chemists all over the United States were using WIS-WESA. So it was something of a kind of a hollow victory, I think. Dyson came over to the U.S. then to be director of research at Chemical Abstract. But fairly quickly, they were able to get into a registry system of molecular fragments that made it, that I think were they were certainly at this point experimenting with early computers, and I think the registry system was a numeric.
Right, but that's not until about 1960, as I recall, someplace along in there.
But see, it was 19, I don't know when UPAC made its declaration, but it was in the 50s, because I did the work in, I don't know where you would find, Wiswasser published his line notation formula, or line
I know
notation
that
system in the...
Apparently that decision on the Dyson system really made chemists like Wiswasser really unhappy.
Oh yes, oh yes. He was. He felt that he had been not given proper... not so much recognition as respect, you know, because he had preached that we have this equipment, and you know, that's all we can do with the.
I have the date of that decision of IUPAC as 51. So it must have been right after the report that you all made.
It certainly, yes, it was.
I don't know when in 51.
It was, in my estimation, a kind of a too quickly. It was kind of preordained that it was going to be that way. And yes, it certainly made... Wiswasser unhappy, but the fact is that his system was being used in chemistry labs around the country, so that and I don't know when, if ever, the Dyson notation was used. I did a study for there was a, and I'm sorry that I can't give you a date on this, because it happened in, I was working at the National Bureau of Standards, and I had a small contract with the committee of the National Academy of Sciences that was looking at chemical notation, chemical structural formulas, mid-60s, late-60s, and a couple of women that I had worked with before collaborated with me on a review of the literature of chemical structure handling techniques for this committee of the Academy. And I can't remember anybody at that point who was using the Dyson notation. There were several still using Wiswasser.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the beginning of the refinement of the Chem Abstracts registry system.
Right, I think that sort of wiped out all those other
systems.
So Wiswasser is still being used, apparently.
Oh, I think
or
that...
extended.
Yes, I think that with small installations, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I know Garfield said that he used it in the Index Chemicus.
Uh-huh.
Originally, of course, that's where... You know, talking about in the early 60s.
Yeah.
What other kinds of problems were you all working on when you were still at MIT?
We began to explore semantic factoring. We wanted to express the meanings of terms, not just the sound of terms, in chemical indexing and literature analysis. we felt that one of the problems that people had in using the literature was to find the right word or the right meaning of the right word in searching indexes and in indexing material to go into.
Talk about the origin of that concept. When do you recall that it first was discussed?
Perry and I, and then later Alan Kent, used to sit around and talk for hours about what the problems were and the concept of analyzing the semantics, the meaning of words.
Is this strictly in chemistry or across the board?
It started out in chemistry, but because we were chemists. But any chemist has a vocabulary of all science and technology. Mm-hmm. So in 1951, we had been using words that we had in an index to a book like this, or looking through the chapters of the punch card book and so forth, and we decided that we needed a collection of terms that were realistic. And so in the fall of 1951, Perry sent me to Washington to tell the people, information specialists working in Washington, what we were about, and to collect lists of terms that were in actual use in various information units around the Washington area.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that was obvious, and I have said this in different publications, that the librarians were not involved, unless they were unusual, like Ralph Shaw, librarian at the Department of Agriculture. Most librarians were pretty conventional and traditional.
Mm-hmm. Traditional in what way?
In that they were committed to the Dewey Decimal Classification System and catalog cards arranged in certain ways and using card catalogs to search for documents or for books, okay?
Now, is this true in the special libraries of government and industry?
To some extent, because a lot of the impetus for the development of new techniques came from the working chemists. And certainly in Washington, the STINFO people,
mm-hmm,
were a distinct community from the library people, okay? And any agency had, you know, a staff of scientific and technical information people with their own classification schedule in the civil service,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to a staff of librarians who had a different classification schedule, okay? There was the rivalry between the two, but very little meeting of the minds. There was a tendency on the part of the library community to at least disregard, if not poo-poo, the work of the information specialists. And there was a tendency on the part of the information specialists to feel that they knew the problem and the answers to the problem. And and their concept or their conception of the problem had no bearing on what librarians were doing. And so there was a period there when there were two camps, there were tensions, there were... And if you remember the paper that at the session in Baltimore, the man, Colin Burke, mm-hmm. gave a paper in which he titled, They Wrote Reports and No...